by the speaker. "Good morning, Dame Beatrice," she said. "Are you thinking of going ashore?"
"Not only of going ashore, but staying ashore," the small, spare, black-haired Witch of Endor replied. "I am taking a holiday, and Ombres Muertos appears to be the one place whither none of my acquaintances is bound."
"We're staying ashore, too, my brother and I, you know. Telem had had a bad breakdown, and we thought it might be a good place in which to recuperate."
"Your brother?"
"Yes. We haven't the same surname. I'm married. That is, I'm a widow. My name is Lockerbie. Where are you staying on the island?"
"At the Hotel Sombrero."
"Oh, good. So are we. Oh, I forgot, though. You want to get away from people, don't you?"
"Only from old acquaintances. I'm no misanthrope. It will be very pleasant to have someone to talk to at the hotel."
She nodded and walked briskly away. Caroline picked up the towel which she'd flung onto the rail and sauntered off to the open-air swimming pool. By the time that the passengers were beginning to go into breakfast, the ship was fast to the Mole. On the quayside, the local itinerants were setting up a babel of sales talk. There were ferocious outbursts of argument and high-pitched foreign laughter. They brought their wares alongside before the ship had docked and were offering embroidered shawls, pyjamas of generous cut and gaudy hue, basketwork, carvings, beads and fruit, and were hoping to reap a harvest before the tourists had a chance to visit the shops in the town. By 9:30, those passengers who'd decided to remain on board were nearly in deck chairs with their feet up. And those others, the majority, who'd heard the call of the island, were already stepping ashore. Dame Beatrice Lestrange Bradley found herself following Caroline and her brother to a line of taxicabs, beside which laden camels lurched, grunted and spat, and panniered donkeys, stoically disregarding thumps and curses, were pulled and sometimes thrust towards the edge of the Mole, so that their burdens might be unloaded onto the small black steamers, which were to take bananas, wine and basketwork to Europe. Behind Dame Beatrice walked a tall young man with a pale face, short, dark brown hair, and an expression of reckless dissatisfaction. She'd noticed him during the voyage, and had put him down as an ex-convict. As psychiatric consultant of the Home Office, she knew a good deal about the reactions and bearing of released prisoners, and the young man whose name on the passenger list was given as Clun bore, she decided, the unmistakable signs. She wondered whether he intended to stay on Ombres Muertos, or whether he'd come ashore for the few hours that the ship would remain in port. He caught her up just before they reached the taxi rank.
"I trust you're bound for the Hotel Sombrero," he said.
His voice was pleasant.
"If so, I wish you would share my taxi."
"Very kind of you," said Dame Beatrice. "But I am not going immediately to the hotel. I propose to do some shopping."
"Ah,"
said the young man, unabashed by this transparent excuse.
"Then I think I'll catch up those two people in front."
Before he could overtake Caroline and her brother, however, they had given directions to the driver of the first taxi in the rank and were off. The young man took the next cab, and Dame Beatrice took the third, and drove to the shopping centre of Reales, where she purchased some picture postcards and a small basket before going back to the waiting taxi. The hotel porters had made themselves responsible for the collection and transportation of luggage, and she gave them mental praise when she discovered that her trunk and suitcases were already in her room. The customs formalities had been of the briefest. Short-term visitors had been allowed to go ashore after signing, on board the Alaric, a declaration that they had nothing on which duty should be paid. From what she'd observed as she watched the luggage being taken ashore, of a perfunctory scrawling on a trunk here and on a suitcase there, the customs officials found little reason to suspect that anything illicit was being smuggled ashore, and did not care much anyway. She unpacked and went down the wide, cool stone staircase to lunch. At a table for four were Caroline Lockerbie and her brother. The tall, pale young man, who had invited Dame Beatrice to share his taxi, was standing at the entrance to the shuttered dining room and was...